Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. We are welcome. God likes giving. So when people give, he's happy. God, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave what? So he gave 100%. Oh, it's not 100%. If he said his only begotten son, what is it? 100%. That's what he has. Or, so when God is giving, he gives all to you. He gave all. So God gave us a gift. And the gift he gave us is a son, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brought salvation to
Jesus
us.
Also gave us a gift.
And he gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also have a gift. He also gave us what? The gift. And some of you call it the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in the Bible you see giving, giving, giving. Gifts for you to be able to walk into this world triumphantly. He gave us his son that we will have life. The purpose of giving his son is to give us what? Eternal life. He that has a son have life. The one that don't have his son don't have life. So in fact, life is not what you think you walk and you make like this. There's a difference between obra and nkwa. Life is Christ Jesus himself. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is why it is very important for everyone to hear about that Christ, that life, so that life can come into man. In fact, the desire of God is that all men will come to know his son, Jesus Christ, so that they will have this life, the Zoe, the life of God that works in man and that the devil cannot kill, that witches cannot chew.
Yes.
The answer to your witches in your village is life in you. But witches can't eat life. But they're already in darkness. Just like darkness trying to swallow light. No darkness wants to go close to what? Light. So it's very important for all of us to carry the message of Jesus Christ that will create faith in men and that will allow them to take Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. I'm beginning with this because without that gift of Jesus Christ, without receiving him as your Lord and personal Savior, the rest, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit too. You can't go and chase the Holy Spirit without Christ. But after having Christ, then the Christ in you then gives the giver. He also gives what? The Holy Spirit. And you cannot operate the gifts until you have the Holy Spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit comes into you, then you will pray the gifts of the Spirit. People want to just jump. I want to become powerful. Look, you don't become powerful for nothing. For just powerful. There are rules that can make you powerful. The rule is first to have Christ. To have Jesus, to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Then secondly, you ask for the Holy Spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit comes, then he gives you, they all have their purpose. Jesus' purpose is to give you life. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to give you power to do God's work. So you can have that life and you can have the Christ in you and no witch can kill you. No wizard can kill you. But you cannot go beyond yourself to help other people. For your strength is only for you. But if you want to go beyond and help other people, your cup should overflow, then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed into them and said, receive what? The Spirit of Christ in them. But he said, look, wait. Go and wait for me. Go and wait for me. Where? In Jerusalem. Luke 24 verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry where? In the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with what? You are clothed with the power. You put the coat of power from high, not from the pit. Go and wait. The disciples, Jesus was caught, crucified, died, resurrected, met them. They had their doubt whether it was Christ or it was a ghost that is trying to deceive them. One of them said, "Be until me." All of them, according to the scripture, all of them didn't believe. Then he revealed to me. Then one was not there. He too said, "Kai, you people, you are telling us that Jesus, the Romans killed. Have you ever seen a Roman killing somebody and the person coming back to life? Kai, don't tell me that. Unless me, I see him, not only feeling, because people can put out the face of somebody and take a stretcher of somebody that is like Christ. Me, he can look like Jesus, but I want to be sure whether he is that Jesus that was crucified. There might be twins, and Mary didn't tell us. So I want to see that Jesus we walked with. And the way to believe it is I want to see the holes of the nails. And the disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in the hand the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails to see whether properly is not something that not people can do some things to look like. He said, I want to put my hands there to see whether Neil went there. You think they are the only people who doubt? We doubt like that. And put my hands into his side. Because there was a spear that went through the side. And put my hands into his side. I will not believe. While he was talking, what happened? Oh. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. This time, Thomas was there. The first time Jesus came, Thomas had gone to buy gobe. So when Jesus came, he was not there. But this time, he didn't come. Then, the 8th day, 8 days later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Let me see the reaction of Thomas, whether he will put his hands there. Then he said to Thomas, well, Jesus then when Thomas was arguing with them. But Jesus heard it. Hey, whatever you see, you may not see him, but he's there. He said, I'm always with you. Yes. When he was seeing it there, Jesus was not there in person, isn't it? But he came and repeated what he said. Oh? And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hands there here and put it into my side. Is that not what Thomas, is that not the prayer of Thomas? Thomas prayed a prayer. that me, Thomas, unless I see the print, I put my hands there. I put my hands there. So Jesus came. Yes, Thomas. Now, here I am. Put your hands here. Put your hand there. And put your hand on my side. Do not be unbelieving, but what? Believing. And Thomas answered to him, my Lord and my God. You can't see him and sort of doubt. He didn't need to put his hands there because he knew this is when you meet Jesus, nobody will tell you this is Jesus. When you present the gospel to people and they hear it, you don't need to convince them that this is Jesus. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have what? Blessed are those who have not seen and have what? Hey. So the Christian life is believing before seeing, not seeing before believing. So if you are sick, you don't have to feel that I am getting well before you believe that Jesus can heal you. When you don't see any improvement in your life, you can still you believe that Jesus has the capacity and the power to heal me. The moment you believe, that healing then begins. Thomas, some of us, we have trained our mind so much that our mind wants to analyze God. We want to do a postmortem of God. Open it up. See what is here. What is wrong with here? What produces? Huh. That is why most of the time, the simple people easily get healed when they go to healing program. He believed in all his heart. And another one come and analyze the thing. See, this sickness here, it is produced here. And this is the one that is causing it. And this, the way it is, how can only prayer go there at the end? This year I've struggled for so many years. I've gone to every hospital. I've done this. They've even told me what is wrong. They say it cannot be cured. So how can it be? So he won't believe. But the person who have got a heart gets say, look, I believe all what the doctors have said. But I also know that God has power and can do more than what he created me. That he's able to do. He's not only the God of Old Testament. He's also the God of the New Testament. And not only the God of New Testament. He's only the God of this modern world. If he was the same yesterday and the same today, he will be the same forever. So if he was able to do everything, this thing some years back, then he can do mine too today. Amen. And then faith rises up. Amen. I hope you're getting me. Thomas didn't believe. Thomas said, oh, Lord, now I believe. He said, ah. He said, blessed are those who have not seen, but have believed. So our Christian life is not the monkey type of faith. Monkey says, and Thomas says, unless I see before I believe. But the Christian life is, you believe, then you see the result. You don't see the result before you believe in Christianity. You believe before you see the result. So whatsoever you are believing, it's definitely that you're going to get and see the result. That's the Christian life. That's how it works. You pray for people. The person is sick. You believe. And you pray. And because you believe, the person recover. The woman who was having an issue of blood, she believed in her heart. And said, look, I know if that I should touch this man's dress, I know I'll be healed. She believed first. If you don't believe, you even take a step. Things you don't believe, you don't do. Many people might be having a similar situation, but she believed, and faith can make you take a step to get what you want. If you don't believe that if you work, God can bless you, you will sleep and become poor. If you don't believe that, oh, if I go and look for this job, I'll get it, you will never even write application for it. You will never even go and look for that job. You say, oh, hey, this is a job is difficult. Even if I go, I won't get. Who told you if you go, you won't get? You say, oh, Kofi went there. One of my friends said somebody even went there some years back. He didn't get it. Who told you that the vacancy has not been created for you? Maybe the day you go there, somebody have left and they needed you. So once you believe, you will get it and you move, God brings what you have believed to pass. So our Christian life is believe and have it. Not you have it before you believe. It is no longer faith. Amen. So Jesus gave us this story. I was talking about once you believe, you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Once you believe, you have him. When you preach the gospel, what it does is to create faith for the person to believe in Christ, not in you. When you even give a testimony of what Christ has done for you, it focuses the person's mind that Christ can save me. It doesn't put the focus on us. It put the focus on Christ. It takes your testimony and show Jesus that Jesus can do this. And say, oh, if this man can do that, let me surrender my life to him. Then he comes into him and be his Lord and personal Savior. Then you are now qualified for the Holy Spirit. I was reading Luke 24, verse 49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When Jesus said this, after 40 days, Jesus met them and he spoke to them and left finally so that the Holy Ghost can come. When Jesus came, they were asking him, when will you restore the economy of Ghana? They were crying. When will you restore Israel for us? Your bread, every person have come. Everybody have come. We say we are coming out of IMF. We still go inside. God, when can Africa be free from the hands of IMF? So that was the question they may be asking in our modern days. But Jesus said, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times and seasons of who the Father put in his own authority. Let's jump to chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost, Jesus met them, when he finished, he left. That is the 40 days. So the 10 days left. Then after the 10 days, there was a day called Pentecost. So that day, that was the day the Holy Ghost came. It's not because the Holy Ghost came, that's why they call it Pentecost. It was there before the Holy Ghost came. It was the day of that Pentecost that the Holy Ghost came upon them. At that time, people had there come to the town to celebrate the season and everything. Then that day, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Say, all with one accord. The Holy Spirit always works in unity. Where there's disunity is very difficult for God's Spirit to work. That's why the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst.
Amen.
When there is disunity, it's difficult for God to work. So they were together in one accord. And what? Suddenly, a sound from heaven, as of what? A rushing mighty wind. And it filled what? The whole world. See, God don't want to leave anyone. He doesn't select people and say, you would always end up one torso. Once they are together, they have one dream, one vision, waiting for one thing. Jesus came. The Holy Spirit came upon them. They were all, oh, I love that. And suddenly, there came a sound from where? What came first? A sound. As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled what? The whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided what? Tongues. As of what? Fire. It's not fire. It looked like fire. And one sat upon what? A sat upon each one of them. So, like someone said, you are seeing it on my head. I'm seeing it on your head. Well, you can see it on your head. So you recognize that, look, the Spirit of God is upon this one. And you recognize that God's Spirit is upon me. Whenever we come to church, we must recognize that God's Spirit is in us. Sometimes we believe ourselves only. And they were filled with what? The Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the thing came from above. The room was first filled. It was first filled. And what was the place was filled, then the human beings were also filled. If they put you in water, you put a cup, your cup in water, and the room gets filled with water, what happened to the cup if it's open? It also gets filled with water, isn't it? So that's how it is. It filled the place, so every container there also got filled. And when they got filled, they couldn't keep it. It must overflow. And they started speaking with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterances. The Spirit didn't speak in tongues. He gave them what? And who spoke in the tongue? People. There are people sit down and say, they keep them up. Holy Spirit, speak. He wants your mouth to speak. He gives you the utterance, give you some time. We want to leave things for Holy Spirit to do. But he's first our helper. If a helper comes to a lazy man, who have nothing to do, at the end of the day, they will achieve nothing. Oh? It doesn't mean that the helper is weak. No, the one he's going to help has nothing to do. So he too, he wait. If you go want to lift something, he comes and to help lift. If you want to do something, what you can do, he comes to help you do it. If you want to live a holy life, he comes to help you to live a holy life. But if you don't live the holy life, he also wait and look at you. And you mess up your life. I say, where is the Holy Spirit? No, he is there. You haven't invited him to help you. I hope you're getting me. So the helper comes to help somebody who is doing something. Helpers come to help people, isn't it? If one were to come and help you clean your house, they come and you lock your door. You sit in front and you chat with me till the evening. Work not done. Not because I'm not able to do it. But it's because you didn't give me work to do. I've come with all my might, my ability, with all that I have. Look, no amount of work that you want to do that I cannot help you to do. What the Holy Spirit will do is what you cannot do. So if you have to lift how many tons, it doesn't matter how many tons. If it's some little one you can lift, the weight that is left, he takes it on himself and help you lift it. You don't say, cross your legs. Holy Ghost, go to church and come. I wanted to go to church, but Holy Ghost, me smell. And then my breath. Sorry, mommy. Holy Ghost. Empire boy. Wow, anymore. Say, many kum. The bumpire, no mommy. It is when you're praying that he comes to help you. I hope you're getting me. She said, you do not receive because you ask not. If you don't ask, you won't receive. They will blame God that God is not doing anything for us. Did you ask him? And he didn't do it. If you ask him, ask the Holy Spirit, come and help me to ask God. Because you know the mind of God. Help me in that area. That when I'm praying, I will pray right according to the will of God. And God has said that if we ask anything according to his will, he will definitely do it. So if I don't want any of my prayers to fail, then I have to pray according to the will of God. But how can I know? You say, oh, you can find it in the word of God. Let me tell you, not everything you find in the word of God. You know that. Imagine you have got two jobs. One in Tamale, one in Kumasi. And you are praying, God, which one should I take? You go to the Bible, you don't find Tamale. You don't find Kumasi. He helps you to pick the right place and the right thing to do. Our helper, the Holy Ghost. It's him. Then the Holy Spirit came in a form of tongues, landed upon each one of them. Nobody was left. Everyone, and I pray that you live here with everyone being filled. Amen. It's good. Some of us, our fear is that you are afraid that if you don't take time, some demon could play tricks on you. You don't want to joke with spiritual things. You don't want to play with things you can't see, you don't know well. Hey, what about if I pray the tongue and speaking, if the devil gives me some tongues to pray? Okay, I don't want to enter there. I want to go where my mind understands. Jesus said, you who are evil, if your children ask you, your child asks you, for what? Bread. Which one of you will give him a stone? Or he asks for fish. Which one will take a serpent and say, get? If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him what? A stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Go to the next verse and look at what it says. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him what? Scorpion. That is mummies. Will you do that? Yes, sir. Is God your father? So if you ask your father God, will God do that for you too? Let's continue what he said. If you then, being evil, knows how to give good gift to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give who what? Give what? So what he's saying is in relation to what? The Holy Spirit. He knows some people fear, will fear that, hey, when they ask, they think God, this one will receive. Let me just say, I come here, see me so. He knows that when you begin, people will be afraid when they ask, their village God will come and enter them. So they don't want to get into the spiritual realm. They want to be in the natural realm where they can see, they can feel, they can touch. He said, you are evil. If you ask God, you think that he will give you all this. And he was saying that thing in relation to what? The Holy Spirit. So if you ask me the Holy Spirit, I will not permit the devil to come and give you another spirit. How? You've come to me, God, asking for the Holy Spirit, then I will sit down and allow Satan to come and put another spirit in you, then who am I as God? I want to cast away the fear. So now you know that when you ask God, Satan won't give you anything. He can't. He won't even think. He has no ability to give when you have asked God. So those who haven't spoken in tongues, who haven't received the Holy Spirit because of fear, that, in fact, me, myself, I went through the same thing, you know. I never like anybody to deceive me on earth here. So everything, I would like Thomas. Me pese me humo, I remember the first time I saw the move of the Holy Spirit was in 1968. At an SU camp meeting, we were in a camp meeting. Ha! This guy received the Holy Spirit. And the way he was going, and I was afraid that night. It was evening service, evening program. I was afraid because the way the guy, a nice guy, very quiet guy. Charlie, awkward, very good boy. And look at the way he's behaving. But I felt the place was, I said, BBS, but then my whole age, let me show, my face said, whom will be about? I opened my eyes. I said, I don't want to get this. I opened my eyes, and I didn't want to get involved for me to behave like that guy. I think everybody was enjoying it, but I was afraid. I hadn't been introduced to certain things before, so I was afraid. And the guy was the way he was praying. I said, ah. At the point, the whole place was as if something was there. So I got to a point. I said, demon, say no. Everybody saw. I clapped my hand. Amen! And everybody opened their eyes. It was moving from one person to the other, getting closer to me. So I've struggled like you before. I've struggled more than you. Holy Ghost wasn't something I would like to go close. Then 2 years later, I'll tell you next week. Next week, when I forget, if I don't leave some of the story, you won't come. Sometimes you must leave the street apart if you like stay at home. Next week, we may continue. and give the chance for the Holy Spirit and for us to ask those who have been received to ask. I'm bringing this so that you can understand, removing your fears, and I will give you the steps to take to get the Holy Spirit. I'll be talking about that, what to do if we want to receive the Holy Spirit. So we will. I'm just gradually building a foundation so that what you receive, you understand. It won't be something that has been thrust on you. You don't understand what is happening. So that's why I've laid a full foundation. And this is a gift from Jesus Christ. And when you receive the Holy Spirit himself, we'll also be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, because God has a gift. I told you, what did I say God gift was? And who did I say Jesus' gift was? And who is the Holy Spirit's gift? The gift of the Spirit. What is the gift? So you cannot relate, you cannot ask for something who you don't relate with, who the one who gives you the gift. You cannot relate to salvation and ignore Christ. And you cannot relate to the gifts of the Spirit without relating to the Holy Spirit. So I end here. And I will talk later about, as you give in the Holy Spirit. You know that Jesus is around. When Thomas argued that unless you see Jesus, he didn't see Jesus there. But when Jesus came, he said, Thomas, I heard what you said. I was there. There were two or three are gathered, I'm in their midst. When you were talking, sometimes the reason why, if you don't see, doesn't mean that he's not there. So that he chooses to reveal himself. And he chooses not to reveal himself. It doesn't mean he's not there. He's always with us, even to the end of the world. So if you understand this, even your giving, you'll be honest and truthful with your giving. So somebody who gives some giving that people give to have blessing. Somebody gave and died. The Holy Spirit moved, and people were selling their houses. Not pastors begging them to go and say hello. They would sell their houses. They were doing this and they were giving, and somebody went and sold his property too. And when he came, he and his wife, Mrs. Ananias, advised their husband, "Hey, Ananias, the children's school fees, oh." Ananias, you see, this money, let's take a bigger part and put it down and go and give this part. After all, even our little part we are giving is more than Amamansa. What they have sold is not close. It's big money. Say, so, Mrs. Ananias, why are they? So they did it. Ananias took the money and sent it. He won't keep quiet. He said, we have sold all that we have. He said, hey, Ananias, Holy Spirit can move like this, oh, for you to behave in that way. Because you have not lied to me, but you have lied to the Holy Spirit. Away. He fell down, boom, in the church. Peter killed the social, they will write it. Peter killed Ananias because of offering. Mrs. Ananias also came, followed. Peter asked, oh, Peter, what would you say about me? She said, oh, my darlings, because you know you can conspire to lie. Two people can agree to lie. And sometimes, when people agree to lie like that, it's not good. I remember some two people, they were going to marry. They came to me. They conspired to lie. When they came, Because on their way, as if I was walking with them. So when they were arranging what to come and tell me, lo and behold, those people came. And I asked, the lady, how old are you? She said, oh, I'm 20-something. I said, you're 40-something. And she was surprised. I said, this marriage don't last. It died. They married, but the marriage, I didn't kill them like Peter. But the marriage died. But you cannot build your marriage on lies. Those who won't propose to the women, lying. Marriage cannot be built on lies. Look, Unisha, she was a ministry. If she likes you, she should pick you. If she doesn't like you, she should leave you. Don't go and do any impress her in some way. Somebody say, I went to Oxford. Meanwhile, Uncle Brichilda. After you marry, you find out that. She say, oh, I'm working with this group. After they're married, you find out the guy is unemployed. All these lies. No wonder marriages are breaking. Got the foundations wrong. At least I've given somebody advice. If you lied and married, now go and tell the truth. Say, I've lied and confess your sin. Say, that, honey, when I came to you, I lied. Then the lady too, honey. It was deception I used to get you to catch you. Please forgive me. And let's start on a new note, on a fresh note with Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It will be well with you.